Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and available wherever fine podcasts are, including the iTunes, the iOS, the podcast app thing that you hit. It's purple on my phone. And then you hit subscribe, download, and then you can, it really helps us out. We really appreciate it. We're also available on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, all those great places. SoundCloud.com/Steven Larson.
But not Spotify. Looks like we won't be on Spotify before WrestleMania.
I missed the exit to Spotify. We got lost on the road to Spotify and ended up in Nowheresville, California. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/Steven Larson.
No, going in raw.
God, what is with me today? Going in raw. You know, I'll be honest with you. We filmed a quarterfinals for the In Your Haas tournament.
Yeah, one side of the quarterfinal bracket. Yeah.
I'm not happy.
You were very upset today.
I'm not happy about it.
Which means I was delighted.
I am not.
Not that you were upset.
How does that, you
know
what?
No. I wasn't delighted. I wasn't delighted that you were upset. I was delighted that that it went my way.
That wasn't a good cover. We're also available at patreon.com.
Can I take enjoyment in my success?
No.
Why not?
Not if it's at my expense.
They're two separate things.
No, they're not. Aren't you sad for me that I'm upset?
I'm sympathetic,
Can
yes.
I just give our shout-outs right now?
Yeah, sure.
Patreon.com.
You brought it up. I'm just having the conversation.
Patreon.com/goinginraw. Is that right? No, is that Steven Larson? That's Steven Larson.
Steven Larson.
We got to get our branding on track, dude. Patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you can support the show and get some shit in return. And prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. That is not on the shop. This is on our secret shop that people have been finding because we keep on getting orders for this shirt. I don't want you guys to get this one. I want you to get the ones on Pro Wrestling Tees.
We're going to have 5 orders for that shirt by the time I wake up tomorrow. Because you said, don't buy that shirt.
Don't find this. Don't buy it. Only buy from the Pro Wrestling T-shirt.
10.
Shop.
10.
I might upload this image, but like in red instead.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Red seems cool.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's fitting with the show's color palette, too.
Yeah, I agree. Exactly.
That'd be good.
Red. And it'd be a celebration of all red everything, Eva Marie gone.
Well, I don't think it's been confirmed yet, has it?
Confirmed. Here, exclusive, Going In Raw. Eva Marie's gone from WWE.
Not true.
You can,
this isn't Dirt Sheet. We can't. We, that's,
bet
that's
on
not
it.
News we're covering right now.
Oh, yeah. We're going to put her in that thumbnail. Yeah. So, anyways.
SmackDown was tonight. This is Tuesday night. We're shooting this right after SmackDown. It just ended.
Yeah, that's right.
And Talking Smack is happening right now. We're missing it to record this podcast.
People are tweeting at us. Oh, my God. Did you guys see Talking Smack?
No.
Randy Orton decapitated Bray Wyatt.
Didn't see
but
it.
But then he grew a new head.
Didn't see any of it.
Oh, ooh, Bray Wyatt's head. All right, let's talk about SmackDown.
Yeah.
Once again, without Mauro Ranallo, we wish him the best.
Yes, hopefully he's doing okay. Hopefully he's doing well.
I know, exactly. Like, I feel bad now. I don't feel that bad. I didn't know. We didn't know. You know, we just hope he's doing good.
Yeah, we hope he's doing well.
I know. I wonder if people are going to be like, they're soft now. Now, I don't just want to pile on.
Legitimately, I want him to do well.
Yeah.
That's legitimate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We don't wish ill on anybody for the most part. There are some people we wish ill on, probably. You know, the government.
But we wish Mauro the best, and hopefully whatever is the issue can get worked out, and he can get back to doing what he loves.
Absolutely. But we opened up with that familiar Daniel Bryan theme music. had the crowd popping.
It was a good crowd in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, it was. It was a really good crowd. Daniel Bryan came out, and they had the AJ Styles Shane McMahon contract signing. I like that they opened the show with this and didn't close the show with
this. Yeah, usually they close the show with a contract
signing. I was kind of surprised. I thought they were going to do something later on in the episode with the rest of this. But basically, Shane dropped a promo. AJ Styles dropped a promo. It was very sort of classic. This did not have any physicality to it.
No, AJ threw the table over and that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, Shane speaks, he spoke a bit during his promo about he and Daniel Bryan's vision for SmackDown. That would be a place of opportunity, a place where families can come to be entertained.
Did Shane seem a bit out of it?
No more than usual.
Really?
No.
I think it was, because I noticed that he didn't like stutter at all. He wasn't thrown off at all. And maybe it was just a matter of him like really concentrating on what he was trying to say, but he sounded like he just got his head put through a window like an hour ago.
He has a really good sell job on his part.
That could be. You know, that could
2 weeks
be.
Ago. But I mean, ever since he's come back, like his promo,
he hasn't been as loosey goosey.
And no.
That makes me wonder if he's simply trying to, like, his character at this point is an older, more mature Shane McMahon, because that's who he is.
Yeah.
And he's not as much of a loosey-goosey, you know, hothead guy. Like,
yeah,
he used,
but also
to
he
be.
Doesn't seem as natural.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he hasn't
stilted.
Done a promo in like 10 years or something, so yeah. Or however long it's been, so it makes sense.
But anyways, I mean, this was decent. AJ said, look, you understand this is not a no DQ match. This is not a false count anywhere match. When you're in this ring, you're in my home, and I am the best.
Yeah, AJ said, I will embarrass you on every level.
Yeah.
Here's something Shane brought up something after he put AJ over. He said he was phenomenal, essentially.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Shane said that AJ's arrogance cost him the WWE title, and it was AJ's ego that gets in the way of everything. And so his ego was so bruised by the fact that he wasn't on the WrestleMania card that he went after Shane to make sure he's on it. All right, as a business person,
yeah.
If you have a guy who just lost the WWE title, who's a top star on your show, mm-hmm. it is your job mm-hmm. to put that star on the top show of the year.
Yeah, I know.
It wasn't AJ's ego.
I know.
I mean, he's just lost the WWE title. He has carried your brand for the last 8 months.
We used to bitch about Roman Reigns when he like would lose a title and then come back the next day and be totally chill about things.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was with the Royal Rumble that he lost to Triple H. Next day, he should have been ripping sets apart.
Yeah.
He should have been destroying everything in sight.
If Instead, you're a competitor, yes.
He was like, it's all good.
Yeah.
All right. You know what, dude? I obviously completely agree with everything you say. I am way past the point of applying
logic
to this whole Shane McMahon, AJ Styles, who's in the right, who's in the wrong, because it doesn't make a lick of sense. It does not. AJ Styles is the best wrestler on SmackDown, maybe even in the WWE or the world itself. And yeah, as a business person, you want him in the main event of your top show.
At least on the show in a match of some consequence.
Maybe Shane understands that he's a big draw and this is the biggest match. Maybe he understands that he's a bigger match than Randy Orton. Yeah, probably not.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
I don't
probably
think
not.
So.
But yeah, no, I don't know. You're right. Like, it's thin motivation. It doesn't feel very well thought out. I'm fine with the match. It's whatever. It is what
yeah,
it is.
We've come to accept it.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. The fact that they were thinking, I just wish that they would, I don't know, do some unpredictable shit sometimes. Like, okay, dude, I'm sorry, but, and I know he's going to be headed to Raw soon. Like, you look at AJ Styles' new shirt, and how can he not be headed to Raw?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my thing is this. You have Finn Balor, who they were thinking of using, and this was in some report today. They were thinking of using Finn Balor in place of Seth Rollins.
If Seth wasn't medically cleared for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So Finn Balor's available. Could you imagine how great of a match? You can have your entertainment fest. You can have Lesnar, Goldberg, Cena proposing to Nikki. You can have all that stuff. And you can also potentially have a 6-star match with these two guys.
Because, you know, there's the Battle Royal
mm-hmm.
that's interpromotional. But there's no head-to-head Raw versus SmackDown match.
Right.
At WrestleMania.
I know. That would have been so much fun.
I know.
For the people, for the loyal fans who tune into Raw and SmackDown every single week, and would mark out for something like that. That would be so much
fun. The only thing I can think of is that they're saving that match for somewhere down the line.
That could be. I mean, look, if
with
if,
grander storyline implications.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because you only have a little bit of time to build this up, and you're right, and that's fine.
And especially if Finn was Plan B in case Seth wasn't medically cleared.
Mm-hmm. They don't have any time. Yeah, no. Exactly. And we might still see him at Mania, but I don't know, man. I'm just spitballing. I'm just thinking like it is kind of a waste, and I'm not even seeing like AJ versus Shane necessarily is a waste. It's just the story didn't make any sense to get there. It really did.
Doesn't make any sense.
Let's see here. Then, AJ
says he's the best performer in the WWE ring ever.
They start to want to go at it. They start like they both get up.
AJ tosses the table aside, and then Daniel Bryan gets in between him and says, "Why don't we seal the deal with a handshake?"
That was hilarious. It was Daniel Bryan was hilarious in this episode. He was really good. Shane wanted to. AJ said no. Then AJ left the ring.
And he was in his wrestling gear, but he didn't have a match.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about. Maybe he was, you know, it's a contract signing. You know what happens in contract signings. Maybe he was prepared.
Or
he was prepared.
I don't know if they have, well, maybe not. I don't think they have dark matches after SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
Because the 205 Live's right afterwards. So I don't think they do. And then Roger, that's talking smack.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't know.
That's the only other thing I can think of.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Let's see here. Then we had Becky Lynch versus Carmella. James Ellsworth came out first and dropped a little promo. We were too busy watching the Hardy Boys dump their TNA belts, tag team titles.
In the Lake of Resurrection.
Resurrection. And they're resurrected as these very Hardy-specific belts.
Yes. Like their own sort of super kick party belt.
Dude, can you imagine? And I know this is too good to be true. If they come in and take the Raw and SmackDown tag titles, because that's their thing right now, is just taking everybody's titles.
I know.
Could you imagine them being able to carry this storyline over into the WWE?
That'd be great.
And just kind of do like WWE says, look, you can have this little corner to do it, to scratch out, do what you want to do. We know you'll make us some money.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we get Jeff for some high
spots.
I mean,
if I were WWE, I'd say, okay, here, the SmackDown tag division, have at it.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah.
Because whatever they're doing over there now ain't working.
Yeah, I know, as evidenced by.
Because like they're basically in their entire division, tag division, SmackDowns, is in the
Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. That's almost exclusively the SmackDown tag division. And then the three guys who could actually win it who are all in Raw.
I know.
Yeah, I know. But anyways, we had Becky Lynch versus Carmella. We had Alexa Bliss and Kiki James on commentary.
They were bickering while the match was going on.
There's this gross bit where Carmella took her gum out and gave it to Ellsworth to hold on to, and he put it in his mouth and chewed it. I mean, you have to admire that they committed to that.
Yeah.
It's just kind of gross. And the commentators were sufficiently grossed out by it. So anyways, Mickie James and Alexa Bliss were going at it on commentary. They were talking shit to each other.
They took that intensity, made it physical and started
fisticuffs happened
brawling. They took their brawl into the ring.
That shit always cracks me up.
They were brawling. Everyone brawling. Mickey hits Kiki James on Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Go to commercial, come back. And of course we get a tag match.
Holla holla. Daniel Bryan made a tag match.
Yeah. So it was Becky Lynch and Mickie James against Alexa Bliss and Carmella.
Mm-hmm.
Natalya came out at one point, kind of in the middle of the match to do commentary.
Yeah.
It was an okay match. Carmella pins Becky Lynch.
Becky was wearing that weird pale flesh tone mesh with like the lace covering the boo-boos.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
I pride myself on being kind of fashion police. Whenever something bugs me, like Mojo's tights bug me. We'll talk about that when we get to Mojo.
Yeah. So, as I said, Carmella pinned Becky following some James Ellsworth interference.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all brawled. All brawled. And then Naomi came out.
Naomi cleared the ring. The number one, the crowd popped huge for her. Number two, when, who was it? Natalya and Nikki, who was it? Was it Mickey James? That went up the ramp to try to meet her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And fucking Naomi launched herself up into like a Frankensteiner type thing. That was like a Hunikanara, right? Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, that was kind of cool. It was like one of those moves in 2K17 when you just like ought to do something. Yeah, and it doesn't make any physical sense. So she pulled one of those. She got in the ring, cleared it out. Crowd was popping for her. She got on the stick, delivered a promo, said she's taking that belt back in her hometown.
Yeah.
She doesn't really know the history of WWE superstars in their own hometown. It's not pretty. It's not looking good.
No.
But And I don't even want her to win. I want Alexa Bliss to win.
But if Alexa's not going to win, I want Naomi to win.
Yeah, and it was announced
that this match is going to be on the pre-show. And it's a
I'm fine with that.
And it's going to be a six-pack challenge.
People asking us about what we think about the Cruiserweight title and this on the pre-show. I'm fine with it. WrestleMania is the kind of thing where
it's kind of an all-day affair at this point.
Exactly. Anyways. You turn it on in the pre-show, and that's, you know, you have matches there. I would rather have important matches in the pre-show than a bunch of why would I want to watch a crap match? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally fine watching pre-show matches. If Austin Aries and Neville pull out a match of the night on the pre-show, that only is good for the pre-show. It's only good for 205 Live, and people will be talking about it.
And if they do that, it'll make it more likely that they'll be on the main card next time.
Yeah, there's that, too. Yeah, exactly. Then we had Daniel Bryan on the phone. The banker is still dressed up as Nikki Bella.
Yeah, Breezy Bella.
Breezy Bella. And he says he wants to be part of the SmackDown women's match. Daniel Bryan's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And then he takes off his wig.
He goes, wait, you're Tyler Breeze.
He said, where'd you come from?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Cheddarfield enters, and long story short, the fashion police.
Daniel Bryan says, well, they were complaining about not being on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And so Daniel Bryan says, you want to be in the Battle Royal?
Mm-hmm.
There's a 10-man tag match tonight. You get the last two spots. You're in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania.
Man, I love Fandango.
Yes.
He's fun. And Tyler Breeze is good.
Yes, they're good. They're both really good together.
They're both really good together. Fandango makes me fucking laugh, though. Like, hold on there, broski, or whatever he said. Buckaroo, whatever it was. That shit was funny. So then we had Miz TV with the exclusive Total Bella Bullshit finale.
Yes.
That's what it was.
So it all took place over Wednesday night formal dinner.
Yes, correct.
More allusions to Cena potentially proposing to Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing little setups. Didn't happen.
Right.
And then Nikki finally gets on one knee, proposes to Ms. Cena.
Yeah.
He says, I do not want to ever marry you.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of neat. This is over the course of two segments. There was a commercial break in between. After that, the Miz and Maurice took off their...
He went on a pretty extensive, like, as Cena.
Oh, yeah.
What he was describing, he was saying his reasons for not wanting to marry her, and it was pretty brutal. He was saying, you know, because all I care about is money. I have hustle, loyalty, respect. And he was going through each one, talking about how selfish he is and how his brand is the only thing that matters, et cetera, et cetera. And then they do what you're talking about. They turn to the camera.
They took the costumes off, yeah.
They took the costumes off, and Miz delivered a fairly – I really liked it.
Yeah.
They delivered it right to the camera, talking shit to John Cena. I thought it was really strong. Goes back to the ring, and Miz gets in a few more words. John Cena and Nikki Bella comes out, and Cena proceeds once again. He did this the first time this really kicked off.
Yeah.
To absolutely eviscerate the Miz and Maurice in the ring. And, oh, my God, I asked you this during the middle of the thing. I said, how much money do you think John Cena would make if he was a televangelist? Because he had every single person in that arena in the palm of his hand, and I would have given him money if he would have said, in the name of Jesus Christ, give me money.
Mm-hmm.
I would have given him money.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that dude is fucking – I'm sorry. I'm looking at him, and I'm like, you know – we talk about what they could do with Roman Reigns this, what they could do with Roman Reigns that. I don't care if Roman Reigns was on the microphone 24/7 for the next 50 years. He could never touch John Cena on the mic. And so much of that is what makes John Cena who he is.
Absolutely, yes.
He can have anybody he wants in the palm of his hand.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it's funny that, like, it's something that we've kind of always known. Like, we've always known that Cena can turn you around in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You can boom all you want, but he can turn you around. But this feud, maybe it's because there's really no pressure. It's not like it's Cena Undertaker.
Yeah.
And or maybe it's because he's able to unload on The Miz in a way that he's not able to with anybody else. There are elements to this that are very shoot-ish.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if maybe he's channeling a lot of the criticism maybe that he does here into The Miz. Miz looked like he wanted to cry.
He did that a couple weeks ago, too.
And he did that, too. My question to you was, because here's the thing. The basic...
Well, here, there's a couple other things we need to touch on before you ask the question I know you want to ask.
Go ahead.
I just want to throw this in because I thought it was funny that Cena called himself Corporate Robo Cena.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
That was good.
He also called Miz a pussy.
Yes, he did.
They bleeped it out, but still.
Then what did he say?
Cena said shit on live TV. He said shit.
He said.
Usually, if you want to get away with that, you're supposed to say shh it. You gotta have that beat in there.
You're not the it couple. You're the shh it couple.
No beat. So he basically just said shit. He said on shit, live but he's
saying he can do what he wants. He can call CM Punk three times if he wants.
Exactly.
So yeah, it was a brilliant rundown.
Yes.
But dude, the heel has to get in something.
I know.
He has to get something in, and he's gotta stand tall at the go home.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's no way Miz is gonna win that. Not a in chance.
No chance.
Not a chance that's going to happen.
No chance.
So it's like, yeah, that was a great promo, but man. And secondly, let's talk about this. If you're the Miz, you have to do more than stand there and look like you're going to cry. Dude, I wanted to cry on his behalf.
Yeah.
Because that was a vicious rundown.
It was.
If Cena talked to me like that, I would fucking cry. I'm 38 years old. I would cry.
So what else? What else? Because I
steam.
Thought.
He has to steam.
No, I agree. Maybe that's
he
what
has to pace.
Maybe that's what he was trying to do.
Is be, yeah, I know.
Is
I know.
Be reflective,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's made him, it just looked like he was about to cry.
I
thought Maurice was doing a really good job the first bit of the promo, and I wasn't really paying attention to The Miz. But the Maurice, whenever Cena would try to hurl some insult her way, she'd kind of laugh it off.
She would laugh. She had more facial expressions than The Miz. And I know, maybe you're right. Maybe Miz was trying a very specific acting thing. But man, it just made it look like he wanted to cry, and it just makes it worse because, dude, it's a sports entertainment match. Okay, it's a wrestling match. It's a pro wrestling match. I'm supposed to at least kind of believe that this guy poses a threat to Cena.
I know.
I mean, we all, and part of this feud is so meta. We all understand that Cena is Cena, and he's going to be booked to win this match.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, I need to know that at least The Miz can have something on John Cena.
I know.
It can't be so entirely one-sided.
And it can't just be something on him verbally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to get the upper hand physically at one point.
He does. That's for something like cheat, do whatever you want. But this was just... And it's funny. I like that some of that promo was assurances that John Cena is not going anywhere. Because, yeah, I'm going to go shoot a movie. I'll be back after I do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And he called out other wrestlers who left to shoot movies, including The Miz.
And then he shit-talked. He said, because all your movies are crap, basically. So, I don't know. I thought it was like just a fucking top-level promo. It was,
oh, yeah. The segment itself was great. But...
I mean, you said when Cena like ran out, you're like, man, Cena's just, he's doing nothing but having fun out there. And it's true, but it makes you wonder if part of that having fun is the ability to address his critics through promos against The Miz.
Could be.
I don't know, man. I just think that, I don't know if it's direction or Miz's choice or what, but like, I need to know that you're not making your opponent cry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want, like, that's not a viable opponent.
No. So, and I'm assuming, I mean, Cena said that he was going to destroy The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's not going to be a squash match.
I assume not, but then you never know.
I know.
I don't know, man. I mean, Miz and Maurice are going to be made out to look like fools. By the end of that Total Bellas thing, when they were talking to the camera, I was thinking to myself, oh, man, what a strong sort of go-home. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Like, that needs to be kind of the final word on things.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cena comes out and just fucking eviscerates Miz. I'm like, well, he got too many up on Miz.
I know.
He's running up the score at this point.
I know.
So, I don't know. I mean, I kind of get the whole thing, like, the Miz represents, you know, Cena's criticism. But it's like, you know, at the same time, it's Miz. It's a character that we're going to be stuck with.
I know.
And how
well,
does
then,
he...
And then,
because this could be, and it still could be, because the Miz is versatile. It could be a launching pad to another level, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I think he's a valid sort of candidate for who could be in line if there's an interesting program for the world title next.
Yeah. And also, there's always the thing that if you know, after Cena and Nikki win, if the proposal happens in the ring, that really validates a lot of what The Miz has been saying.
But none of that will matter. Like, you and I know that. They know that. none of it will matter. I know. Because what you're talking about is, yeah, it's obviously it's the irony of the situation. But and the further irony is nobody will understand that. Nobody will care. You know, I'm going to be cheering. I'm going to be cheering for The Miz. But I guarantee within 3 minutes, Cena will have me in the palm of his hand. Little Stevie right there. And Cena's little tiny hand, big hand.
Yeah.
Little tiny Stevie, big hand.
Yeah.
Cena. Then we have
10-man tag action.
Action.
Which saw American Alpha, Rhino, Heath Slater, and Mojo Rawley take on the Fashion Police, the Usos, and Dolph.
Man, Fashion Police need to issue a lot of tickets to Mojo Rawley. Here's my theory about Mojo Rawley, because I fucking hate his bicycle
You don't like
shorts.
Them at all?
No, I hate them. Hate them!
Okay.
See, I don't hate people. I hate some people, not a lot of people. But I can hate bicycle shorts.
Okay.
I can have a fierce passion against bicycle shorts. I like bicycle shorts are fine, whatever. But it's just that it's Mojo Rawley. He is the most colorful character you have, maybe in the promotion. He needs something.
He needs a tire to match.
He needs a tire to match.
The Zubaz pants worked.
Yeah, they did.
Even the stuff he had before, the brightly colored trunks.
No, I thought those looked good.
The crazy hats he used to wear and stuff. Yeah, that all worked.
I thought all that stuff looked really good. The dick wiggle and everything.
This seems too reserved.
I mean, I get, like, if you don't want, like, his butt and his dick to be as prominent as they were in those.
Well, then wear the Zubaz.
Wear the Zubaz, or even, like, you know how, like, they have, like, the trunks, but then they have, like, okay, so the ones that Goldberg wears now, the ones that sort of have a little bit of thigh on them?
Yeah, yeah.
Those. Yeah. But, like, in the same style, like, just make a thicker attire, then the dick won't be as prominent.
Yes.
Because those ones before were thin.
I wonder if they put him in that gear that's a little more reserved because they want him to be seen, be taken more seriously as a competitor.
I fucking hope not. We have enough serious people.
I know. Not saying he has to be serious, but so he could be taken more seriously.
If that's the case, I think, I mean, it's a possibility. That's their intent. But, man, it's failing miserable.
Yeah.
Miserably.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, because it doesn't make me, it makes me think he looks like an indie guy.
Yeah.
Whereas before with the hype bro shit.
Yeah, it was distinctive.
Like, it was distinctive. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, you're a well-branded character.
Yeah.
What do we say about Naomi when she came out? She looked amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like her outfit and then what they do with her hair and those cool light-up shoes. She looks fancy. She looks like a superhero and a half.
It is
not
amazing.
Like a TV superhero, like a movie superhero.
Yeah.
Because there's always a difference there.
See, I think Mojo's outfit now is the same color scheme as the Maryland state flag. That's where he went to graduate school. So I'm guessing that's maybe why he or they chose that color scheme.
Those colors, the color scheme on his, like, in the trim is totally fine. I want it all to be that then.
Yeah.
No black. Mojo Rawley should not be wearing any black. He should not. He's not that guy. He's too colorful. Anyways, moving on.
He won though. By pinning the banker.
He pinned the banker. Good job.
Following an elbow.
Where was Sea Creature?
Not involved. There was actually a fun spot in this match or sequence in this match where people were taking turns throwing other competitors over the top rope.
Oh, that's fun.
It was fun, leaving only Mojo and the banker in the ring.
Luke Harper then gave a promo.
Yeah, he said Bray Wyatt was blinded by his own ego when he accepted
blinded by the
Randy
light.
Orton into the family, despite Luke Harper's protests.
I wish we would have seen those protests.
I know.
Not just him whining because Randy Orton accidentally hit him off the apron.
I know. But then now that Luke has seen the truth,
yeah,
the truth is that Luke doesn't need Bray anymore, and now Luke is free. That's what Luke said.
He got some new gear.
He did.
Got a new wardrobe. So
it shows
yeah.
off his new svelte. Physique.
Yeah.
He looks great.
He looks fantastic. So, yeah, then it was announced officially women's match is a six-pack challenge. How is that going to be? So, six-pack challenge, essentially, everybody clusterfucks in the ring?
Yes.
That's the deal?
Yes.
Okay.
Not as interesting as a gauntlet match.
Not nearly as interesting as a gauntlet match.
I believe it's elimination, though. It's a six-pack. Six
I like anything elimination. That makes it mildly more interesting.
We'll find out.
And I am hoping that they bring out a couple. I mean, there was a rumor or whatever that Eve Torres.
There's
Kelly.
Kelly.
Yeah.
But they seem pretty conclusively said six-pack challenge.
I mean, yeah, you can't make it an eight-pack. That doesn't make any sense.
Now, if they said just a gauntlet match, then they would have left the door open for surprise.
Or even a battle royal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have had. They didn't have to specify the mm-hmm. number of opponents. Wait, what's a six-pack? You get the pin. It's not over the top row. Battle royal
yes,
is
yes,
on the top
yes,
row. Six-pack
yes.
is
pin or submission.
It's like a three-way, but twice. But
okay.
double the competitors. It's like a triple threat, but double the competitor.
Yeah.
Oh, I make it so complicated.
I don't know why.
That led to our main event. Bray Wyatt versus Brody Lee, baby.
So
Luke Harper came out.
Go ahead.
with some. He looked like the most comfortable wrestler I've ever seen.
Yeah, it looked like
he
was wearing sweats.
He had like sweats instead of a dirty white wife beater. He was wearing a black
tank top.
Sorry, his wife beater. You're not supposed to say that. Sorry. Well, John Cena said shit on USA.
True.
I can say wife beater on my own show, even though that's the name of a shirt. Okay, that's where I draw the line. Anyways, he comes out with a black tank top.
Yes.
And he looked like he had taken a shower.
Yeah.
So that's good.
He had his hair in a partial bun.
Yeah. I don't like this Luke Harper, man. Look, if they're going to...
No, I like this Luke Harper.
If they're going to... Here's my thing.
Super comfort.
If they
Luke Harper.
I like that too, but dude, comfort isn't intensity. I want my wrestlers to have intensity.
No, he still had plenty of intensity.
Yeah, I know. I'm just
he's not worrying about how restrictive his attire
is. I'm fine with the comfortability aspect. That's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say is it's fine if he's leaving the Wyatt family. That's whatever. It's fine. They need to give him his own identity, not just a guy who left the Wyatts.
He is. He's a guy who left the Wyatt and became far more comfortable. That's his identity.
He looks like he's a guy who got a Costco membership. That's what he looks like.
Sure. That's his angle. That's his character.
That's what I want.
I had a huge problem with this match, though.
I got a big problem with this match.
It was a good match.
Yeah.
Fast pace. Here's the thing. Bray Wyatt just last week said that he was imbued with the powers of the devil. Was he not? Did he not say that?
He did say that.
He did say that.
Yes, true.
Does Luke Harper have any sort of
powers?
Does Luke Harper have any sort of satanic powers that you're aware of?
No, sir.
So this should have been a 10-second squash match.
Yes,
correct?
Sir. It should have been an evisceration where he looks at him and he just melts.
Exactly. Sure,
Luke Harper melts into a puddle of comfort.
If Bray Wyatt, in fact, this is a huge if. Yeah. In fact, does have satanic powers, then he should have destroyed Luke Harper.
Yeah,
shouldn't have been a match.
Yeah, I know.
But, because like the match was going on, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know.
Why are they having a competitive match when Bray Wyatt has satanic powers?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
I know.
But then I thought, well, maybe last week Wyatt did that to play some mind games with Randy Orton, have Randy Orton think that he is superpowered when in fact he is not.
Mm-hmm.
He's but a mere mortal.
Yeah.
No satanic powers.
Yeah.
And that's why he struggled through that match. But then if that were the case, you'd think Bray Wyatt wouldn't accept the match until WrestleMania, so he wouldn't be exposed for not having satanic powers.
Yeah, what you suggested is a great idea, but there's no way they're ever going to do that on WWE TV.
No.
Because it's too complicated, and it's not even complicated.
No, it's not.
I know. But here's the thing. So at the very end of this match, here's the overarching problem. This storyline had so much promise.
Well, save this until you get to the Orton on Titantron.
Okay,
bit.
All right.
So the finish of the match.
So the match was going whatever. Luke Harper was dominating most of the time. And then at the very end, Wyatt was on his knees staring up at Luke Harper. And Luke Harper was transfixed for a moment.
He was hypnotized for a moment.
And then he went for a discus punch. And instead Bray grabbed him, gave him a Sister Abigail 1-2-3. And then he had this really weird look on his face. And then what happened?
And then Randy Orton showed up in the Titantron in a really over-edited, overproduced package.
Yeah.
Orton was going on and on about, because he's at the Wyatt compound.
Yeah, he's in the still smoldering remains of the Wyatt
compound.
Several
weeks later.
Yeah. He lit it on fire again.
And remember last week when Bray Wyatt had that kind of wand thing?
Well, he called it a crucifix.
Oh, is that what he called it?
I thought it was something
like that, but I didn't know. I didn't hear the exact word.
Crucifix. That's what I thought I heard.
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard too.
As a YouTuber, welcome to my channel. I do tech reviews. RC, no. Let's see if just go to images. I did not mean crucifix. Maybe he said crucifix, and I just thought crucifix was a name for, like, something else. The Metal Archives. Ooh. Is this a metal band? Crucifix. There's a metal band called Via Crucifix from Brazil.
Okay, anyways, it was like a wand thing. Same thing he had last week.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to stab this thing into the ground where Sister Abigail was buried, and it's going to like undo everything that just happened, essentially.
He probably said crucifix and I misheard, whatever.
No, I thought I heard crucifix too.
Okay, good.
Because it wasn't a crucifix.
Right, yeah.
You know, it had some sort of other symbol on it.
Yeah.
And so he drives that into the ground, and like there's like smoldering ashes coming out from the hole he just put in, and Orton's like reveling in it.
Yeah.
and saying more stuff. And then they only cut to like one or two reactions of Bray.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell if he was like torn up about it or what exactly was going on.
The camera work on Bray after he beat Harper was really good. Like, I feel like it was very deliberate, and they were doing some interesting things, like getting his reaction to like what just happened.
Yeah.
And then they cut to the Orton video, and then, yeah, you didn't see a whole lot of Bray because Bray was in the video.
Yeah, it was
A big jumbly mess like any first-year editing student could do. But I mean, dude, here's my thing. Like, I feel like they had, like weeks. They had weeks to like, get this right and to tell a story. Very, like, they could do a very simple story.
Yeah.
But instead, they decided to add this.
They made a huge mistake bringing Satan into it.
Very abstract, supernatural aspect of things, which just took it straight into the goofy.
I know.
Like,
yeah, the Orton package was goofy.
It was so goofy. Like, you heard me. I was giggling through it. I was like, this is so cheesy.
Yeah.
And there's no... The problem is they went so hard on this abstract, supernatural thing... And I don't give a shit.
I know.
I don't care.
I know.
Orton took your powers away by jabbing the remains of Sister Abigail or the pile or whatever of maggots with the crucifix, whatever the fuck it is, the stick.
Yeah.
So now they're on an even playing field going into WrestleMania. This is why one RKO out of nowhere is going to defeat Bray Wyatt. That's what we're getting, essentially.
Because the whole, up until this feud... They've alluded to some supernatural abilities from Bray Wyatt,
mm-hmm.
but never really anything substantial.
Yeah.
Apart from teleportation powers.
Yeah, sure.
But, I mean, WWE Universe, anybody that has any sort of supernatural abilities can teleport.
They can all teleport.
That's been well established. But yeah, they just went too far with it.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it completely lost the human element.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because like in the package today, Orton said, I'm coming after you, Bray. And that WWE title,
mm-hmm.
it just makes it seem trivial.
Yeah, I know.
Like if Orton is trying to be good fighting evil, that should trump everything, right?
Yeah, right.
Like the a title belt seems completely secondary. To,
I know.
You know, good triumphing over evil.
Yeah, the epic encounter between you know heaven and hell.
Yeah,
is what we're looking at, and they're just fighting over a belt.
I know.
You know that like Vince Russo has had. I mean, no, it's not the same one, but still,
it's a lineage.
Part of it's a lineage that has Vince Russo in it and David Arquette. No, I agree with you, and it's like I don't know what like there should have been like. Obviously, there are some supernatural undertones there.
Yeah, and that's fine.
And that's totally cool. That's totally great. When Randy Orton joined the Wyatts and he did the little eye deal, that was totally cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
When you substitute story and in its place, you have abstract supernatural, you're all in on that, then nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares.
I know.
So I don't know what the deal with that is, but it's pretty bunk.
I really think that bringing in the whole satanic aspect was a huge mistake.
Yeah, me too. I know now. And like I said, I mean, I still feel that the go home, dude, the go home should have been him burning that damn place down.
I know.
That's what it should have been what we saw tonight.
I know.
And if we had led to that point, it could have been a true, holy shit, this is happening.
I'm going to put your trivia cards down so I can see them.
Well, yet your eyes, you can't really see all the way over there.
Well, one eye is good.
No,
I agree. If that had been the go-home and they had those two or three extra weeks to build that moment, it mm-hmm. could have been really good still.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I guess the question is, and look, I'm not... This is constructive criticism of an angle that had a lot of good stuff in it.
Yeah.
So we're not just shitting all over it.
We're both... huge fans of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, totally. And
you
I'm a fan. And
we, Randy no, Orton.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Randy Orton. Randy Orton's too.
I want, like, Randy Orton should have to go to hell and back to get that title. It shouldn't be Randy Orton can fuck around with demons and one-up them at will.
I know.
And just take the belt. Again, it's a matter of the good guy in this situation who's chasing the belt should be defeated before he gets the win. You have to go down before you go up.
Yes.
And Randy Orton has not been down. And if he wins at WrestleMania without much of a fight, which is what I suspect is going to happen.
Based on this match tonight with Bray and Harper, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if Bray goes in there and Luke Harper and Eric Rowan show up, and they give Randy Orton the beatdown of a lifetime, and Randy Orton's able to scrap out of that, they could still tell an effective story during the course of their match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And I'm really pinning my hopes on that. I really hope that's going to be the case. I want good content.
One could hope. You want to answer some questions?
Well, do we have some packages?
Oh, we do.
Let's open some packages real quick. Not the gray one. We got to save that. I think for when we get back. That's a heavy one. And then I think there's one in the bag over there, too. We'll do two. Did somebody send us a crucifix? Can I have a crucifix, please?
Here, I'll open it since I have it.
Sounds good.
This is from No Name on the front. It's very heavy, though.
I know. I saw that. Oh, man. What a bummer. Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm reading from the Wrestling Observer. Shinsuke Nakamura was interviewed by ESPN about his WWE entrance music and how it was created. That's the question I wanted to ask him when we had a chance to interview him at SummerSlam. But then we lost our chance.
Oh, man.
What is that?
Cards.
Oh, man.
Oh, this is just cards.
So many cards. Look at this one. Terry Reynolds.
Cards.
All car. Oh, my God. This is a really huge amount. These are all prizes for trivia.
Oh, man.
More cards.
Yes, a lot more cards. Make sure I don't get the address part is on the front here. Make sure I don't get on camera. Because there's all these cards.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, these are all photos.
Oh, man.
From Mania... Might be 15.
Oh, my goodness. So many cards.
Oh, all sorts of manias. Oh, all the manias. That's Mr. T right there. Great pictures.
Look at that one.
What is that one? Oh, wow. Look at that guy. Look at... Doribon and Peanut. Hello, Hulk Hogan. I find it funny that I'm fighting Mankind here. Who's that? Oh, Lita. Ooh.
I don't think there's a note in here, though.
somebody, is there a name there?
No, just an address.
Who sent us a bunch of cards?
Oh.
What?
Is it Patrick Sparks? It's from...
Patrick Sparks, did you send us a bunch of cards?
Because it's from the state I think he lives in.
Let us know, Patrick Sparks. Anyways, if somebody wants to take credit for all these cards, it'd be great. We should take some of these to Orlando and put them up on our new set, on our temporary set. Anyways.
Question time.
Question time. Let's see here. Mankind's Sexy Tooth asks, what do you think is the funniest thing to happen during a match? Mankind's Sexy Tooth said HBK overselling everything Hogan did at SummerSlam. That is
funny.
Up there.
That's pretty funny.
That is definitely up there. For those of you who don't know, when HBK and Hulk Hogan started a program together in 2005, Hulk Hogan didn't really want to go out and come out on the losing end of anything.
Yes.
And so in response, HBK, they had one match. And HBK cartoonishly oversold everything. It's amazing.
Yes.
It's so great.
It is.
Funniest thing to happen during a match. Lex Luger running away from Bruiser Brody when Bruiser Brody decided he didn't want to fake fight anymore. He wanted a real fight.
You want a real fight. Matthew Barasek. Hey, friendos, who's going to steal the show at Mania? Owens and Jericho. I think they're going to tell a really good story.
Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe. Oh, wait. That's not happening. I'm going to go on a limb. AJ versus Shane.
Okay.
It's going to steal the show.
Okay.
Let's see here. Kale says, first time patron here. My question is, if you had to make a cop show, including superstars, only two, who'd be using the show? It'd be Fashion Police.
Yeah.
It'd be Fashion Police. Yeah. Easily.
Butch Bacon's grease catcher, Jerome Murray, with murder added to the list of SmackDown live crimes due to John Cena's promo on the go home to WrestleMania 33. Yeah. Who are your top five promo guys in wrestling history? Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
Dusty.
Okay.
Stone Cold.
I'm going to say...
Or The Rock.
I'm going to say... I'll say Stone Cold. For me, it's Austin, Flair, because you can't leave Flair out. Say Austin, Flair, Cena.
That's three. I'd like, two more.
Oh, it was five?
Five.
Oh, I'm sorry. They survived. Oh, cool. Where I can put Punk on there then. I'll say Punk, and I will say, God, it's so hard not to say The Rock. But it seems too easy.
Well.
I'm going to say Jake. Jake the Snake.
Oh, that's a good answer too.
Yeah.
I'll do Rock, Stone Cold, Flair, Dusty.
Because Jake came from a real place.
That is true. I'm going to say Raven.
Oh, that's a good one. No, that's a good one. I like that. Damian Martin. Well, you, Paul Heyman for that matter.
Oh, yeah.
Damian Martin. Got to finally listen to my first live stream today as a patron. My question is, with Raw getting a new GM here shortly, do you think it'd be wise for the WWE to just change up GMs on both shows to spice things up? I do think that they need to ditch Stephanie for a spell. I'm fine with Shane because...
Well, they're the commissioners.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I'm saying in terms of authority figures, I really don't need more of her being a dick to people as story motivation. It just, it's too much. What is that Rock and Trish Stratus
one? I don't know.
Double trouble. let's see.
I had a question. Oh, Magnum TA champion Nathan Ragland. Let's say the WWE want a new Scott Steiner.
You fat bastard.
Which WWE superstar's character and promo style would you change to that?
Wait, what?
A Freakzilla.
Oh, Scott Steiner.
They want a new Scott Steiner. So it's the same character, Freakzilla, Big Papa Pump. Who would you recast?
Yeah, I'd want to see like a... Like a who? Go ahead.
Hire Ryback. Bring him back in. That's it.
I can't beat that. I can't beat that. Hey, I like your breasts.
Holler if you hear me.
Holler if you hear me. I like your breasts and your buttocks. I like to eat Del Taco. I mean,
no,
I like to eat El Pollo Loco and you. Jesus, Ryback. I like vaginal kisses. That's disgusting, Ryback. You're a fucked up human being. Illustrator of science, Carter Severin. First time patron and first time question asker thing or whatever you call it. I don't know if I'm excited or just waiting to laugh at Mania this year. Excited for a few matches. Don't want to see a lot of matches. Question is, what match do you think will shock us? And, what match, basically, yeah, what match do you think will shock us and be a sleeper good match?
Well, he says probably, an underdog probably match. Which one?
He says he thinks Neville versus Aries is going to be good.
Oh, that'll be good, yeah. Sleeper quality match will probably be AJ and Shane.
I'm going to say this. See, I think that's flashy. I think that's going to, if that goes over well, it's going to go over well. I think sleeper good match is going to be Ambrose Corbin.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna say
that's a good
that.
Choice too.
Because I like that feud. It's like it's under the radar, but it's solid. It's just a solid feud.
It is. They weren't on SmackDown tonight.
No, they were not. They'll be on Talking Smack.
Yeah, host of Wrestle Magic podcast, Michael Cruz. Hey, Steven Larson and Friendos Worldwide. So I am going to be getting married in September. Congratulations. And I just hope to God it isn't like any of the wrestling weddings. That got me to thinking, what is your favorite wedding segment in wrestling history? Who is AJ going to marry?
I want to say a combination of Daniel Bryan, Kane, and Dolph Ziggler. I don't know. I forget.
I remember that, though.
I swear it was Daniel Bryan. Wasn't it Daniel Bryan? No. AJ Lee... Wedding.
Oh, yeah, it was Daniel Bryan.
It was Daniel Bryan, okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. Good, good, good.
I'll say that one. I don't remember much about it. But I remember it was kind of funny.
That's fantastic. It's a picture of CM Punk and AJ Lee, their wedding picture, but they both have, like, the Wyatt glowy eyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
camera
yeah.
Camera flash. It's so pedestrian. That's fantastic. Let's see here. Okay, I don't know. This is I'm trying to get all the first time question people in.
Yes.
Intoxication 93. First question here. If you were to make a doom metal band out of wrestlers, who would you make My example would be a Type O Negative style band with The Undertaker on vocals and bass, Baron Corbin on guitar, Bray on drums, and Nikki Cross on piano.
I want Braun Strowman on vocals.
Okay.
Because it's Braun.
Oh, that's very metal. Yeah, that's good.
That seems very metal.
I want to hear Undertaker in like a country band.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here? We take it straight to hell.
I was trying to get more information on the AJ Bryan Daniel wedding. Because Bryan Danielson. I remember it happening. I remember watching it and thinking something interesting happened, but I don't remember what happened.
It was either
there was like something came up and he left.
It was. It's on the tip of my tongue. Didn't somebody give him like an ultimatum or something? I don't know. Let's do trivia. Let's wrap this up.
Okay.
Somebody will let us know in the comments.
Yeah, I'm sure.
AJ Lee. Bryan Danielson. All right, Larson, it's time for trivia. Are you ready?
Why'd you put Bryan Danielson? That's not his kayfabe name.
Because it makes me laugh to do that.
So today we have two cards, and we're going to do, WWE Classic Era.
Yeah.
And Attitude Era.
Yes, correct.
Oops.
So who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to start with the Classic card.
Oh, no.
You'll do okay on this one.
Yeah, I'll do all right.
What massive superstar did Mankind team up with to challenge for the World Tag Team Championship at WrestleMania 13?
Who did Mankind team up with at 13?
Yes.
What massive...
Massive.
Mabel?
It's time! Vader.
Oh, really?
It's time!
Oh, I don't remember that. Really?
It's what the card says.
Oh, that's cool. No, I mean, this is cool.
It's Vader time!
Classic. I had no idea. I did not... was going to get that. Who was Macho Man's surprise partner for a match versus Ric Flair and Razor Ramon at Survivor Series 92?
Mr. Perfect.
Good job. Well done.
What longtime rival challenged Randy Macho Man Savage for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam 92? Yes.
Is that Hogan?
Warrior. Ultimate Warrior.
Man, that's what I was going to say, too. What a bummer. Oh, well. Who challenged Hulk Hogan for the WWE Championship in the first ever Saturday Night's Main Event on NBC in May of 85?
Oh, I know that too. What year was it? 85?
May of 85. Saturday Night's Main Event.
Does it have a date or just the year?
May.
Is that Andre?
Bob Orton.
Oh, I guess I didn't know that. In 1992, Ric Flair became the second man in history to have won the NWA and WWE championships. Who was the first?
To win both the NWA and WWE championships?
Yes.
God, you know, I feel like I should know all of these, and I'm just whiffing on everything. Buddy Rogers.
Yes.
Okay.
Good job.
What superstar did Roddy Piper hit on the head with a coconut?
Oh, Jimmy Snuka.
Very good.
Who did The Rock last eliminate to win the 2000 Royal Rumble?
Who did The Rock last eliminate? Hold on a sec. Big Show?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Holy shit. Good
You got that one right.
I need another Attitude Era card because this says advance directly to WrestleMania. Oh. Does that mean I win today?
No.
It says I advance directly to WrestleMania.
No. Hey, look. Attitude, you say?
Yeah. I'm getting my moment in, Larson. Thank you. Yeah, what is it, 2-3?
2-2.
Oh. Who served as the special guest referee for the triple threat match? I'll read this again. Who served as the special guest referee for the triple threat match for the WWE Championship between Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, and Mankind at SummerSlam 1999?
That's Jesse the Body Ventura.
Do you know why?
Because you're paid money to do so.
That's correct.
What superstar was Intercontinental co-champion with China in January of 2000?
Break the wall down! Y2J. Correct.
Put a finger up.
After injury, I find it funny that after injuries forced Triple H to vacate the Intercontinental Championship in 1998, what MMA fighter won a tournament for the title?
Ken Shamrock.
Very good.
What 76-year-old woman was powerbombed through a table by the Dudley Boys in 2000?
One of two. Guessing it's Mae Young.
Yes.
Okay. Did Moolah do crazy shit at that age?
I don't remember.
I don't think it was as crazy as Mae Young shit.
So I need to get this one to win. Otherwise, we're tied.
Shit. What 2002 tag team proudly told the WWE Universe, we lie, we cheat, we steal?
That's the Guerreros.
Do you want to give me their actual name?
Eddie and Chavo Guerrero.
No, the name that they used.
Oh, Los Guerreros?
The Moops. They use the name The Moops. That is correct. Los Guerreros. Choose from the bounty of prizes,
well,
my friend.
It's got to be a blind choice, right?
It does have to be a blind choice.
And they're all...
Oh, it's all over the place. What are you going to get?
Here, I'll go in here.
There you go. Hopefully it's one of them swimsuit pictures I saw of, like, Terry Runnels. Remember that time they showed her vagina on Raw?
I don't remember that at all. You remember that?
I do. They probably don't have that on the network. Who do you have?
I got Steven Richards.
Well, you love Stevie Richards.
Do I?
Yes, right to censor.
Well, he was also part of Raven's flock.
I know, and you love Raven.
I do like Raven a lot.
He's the guy who said, I mean well. I love Stevie Richards, although kind of a turncoat. He's obsolete at this point. He was the one, wasn't he the one on the podcast saying that the Hardys weren't the creative force behind Broken Universe?
Yeah, but I think Stevie Richards is huge into DDP yoga, though.
How does that make that? Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. But still, you know, he's obsolete.
I want to read that article you found about the AJ Daniel Bryan wedding because I'm going to try to relive it.
Well, it's probably on the network. No, yeah, I know. No, the thing is, like, I landed on an ad. So just put up AJ Lee Bryan Danielson and you'll type that in.
Okay.
Anyways, that's it for now. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.